Our Father, you hear our worship this morning. We together are acclaiming who you are in the universe, and you are the God and Lord and Master of everything that's been created. Father, we've praised you as a group this morning for Jesus Christ and the eternal life that you've given to us through him. Father, we will not stop praising you for that. Not just today, but 1 billion years from now, you will get the same praise because you are worth it. And Father, we're asking this morning that by your Holy Spirit, you would teach us, you'd guide us, you'd challenge us, and where need be, Father, correct us as we seek you this morning and seek to have an experience with you, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, let me help you look around the room for just a minute, as I'm glad you're here this morning. Phil, could you get up and start doing the offering thing? Phil comes around, you put an offering in the basket. We appreciate that. A lot of folks are giving online. We think that's great, too. Listen, over at this table over here, we have got Jim and Marge who are back with us. Let's welcome them. There we go. Hey, you guys are looking great. It's great to have you here. Those are your assigned seats. You can't leave them. Okay? And then out on the porch, Tom and Kathleen's family have taken a dominant position. Now listen, you folks don't know me, and I might never see you again, so let me just keep going. I call the people on the porch pirates. Don't take that personally. But it is really good to see you. I'm not going to ask anyone to introduce you. I'm not going to play that game, make you feel embarrassed. You're about to have a different kind of experience. And this might be kind of fun for you. It's a great way to do church as we try to imitate what the Acts Church did the first hundreds of years of church before we started building buildings. Okay, now, just for the fun of it, let me do announcements. And Laura laughed at me. Item number one is tomorrow night at my house is systematic theology. We're finishing up the chapter on the providence of God, and we're going to be moving into miracles. That's what's being covered. And if Tom and a few of you keep your mouths closed, we will get through providence. But Tom, I got to be honest, with me and you in there, that's slim pickings, all right? So here we go. Item number two, there's women's ministries announcements. This is why they don't let me do this part of the program. Item number two is women's ministry announcement. You can't do this job with peanut butter in your mouth, okay? Women's ministry announcements. Laura, would you like to do it? You want me to do it from memory? Look at the look I'm getting. Laura, here's the microphone. Why don't you stand and talk to us?
We're going to be collecting diapers for Oasis Pregnancy Center till, I guess, the next two gatherings. So you can bring them here. To the 16th, and not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, we're having a ladies brunch, destination to be announced yet, but all women are invited. So if you want to bring diapers for Oasis, you can bring them here or to the Bible study, and I think that's it.
I knew we were going to collect diapers, but I wasn't sure who it was for. Aging members of the congregation, elder board. Mike. So, okay, it's for Oasis, for babies. So you don't need the adult size, right? Okay, good. We got that figured out. This is fun. I'm going to do announcements from now on. Why not? All right? Short timer, that's how I am. Let me tell you something. Personal word before Jerry comes up here. Jerry, I'll let you use this mic up here. Jerry. That's why I don't mind anymore. Thank you, Steve. Steve, come on up here. We started a process with Jerry Peterson, and actually, I'm going to inside stuff because nothing here is a secret. We've been very good about open-handed. I love what's going on here. I don't know anything that you don't know. After this morning, you're going to know more than me. And here it is. That's Steve. About two plus years ago, I was standing out in that yard with this guy and Jim Reed. By the way, keep them in prayer as they minister over in the Czech Republic. Keep that in mind. And I just mentioned to them, so watch out, your words will bite you. I just happened to mention to them that, you know what? We ought to be thinking about succession planning here. Who's next after Mike? I said that. We had a polite little conversation, and away we went, and we were done. Jim and I addressed it a few other times. Done. And so I'm not thinking much of it. Come about a year ago, in the spring, early summer, Jerry, who's chairman of the board at the time, says to me, hey, I've been thinking about what would our succession plans be? And I said, well, funny you should mention that. I started this conversation a couple years ago with two of the other guys. That's confirmation from the Lord. It's just coming in right now. Okay. And so what happened then was a discussion that bore into, by August, Jerry Peterson chairing a transition team who would be following the person or finding the person that follows me. Simple as that. And we started meeting together as a team and working through people and et cetera. And finally, in January, we got a reference for somebody. I'm going to let Steve pick it up at this point in time, because this is the quintessential administrative elder that I've ever met in my life. And this guy can pull it together like you wouldn't believe. And he's going to give us an update as to where we are right now, something you should be praying for and looking forward to. So, Stephen, thank you.
First, I'd like to recognize all that were on the transition team. Just kind of stand up. Let's give them a hand of applause, because it's a lot of work they did. Yeah, thank you, Bill. And also, I think Jim and Beth are not here. We've got some great news. Again, some great possibilities. They have zoomed in on one individual, which they then gave. The way the process works, the transition team looked at how many, many different candidates, different people out there, 16. Went through 16? And then half a dozen. You two guys were also working even before that, you know, just checking out things. Yeah, over 20. And they looked at different individuals, and they made a recommendation to the elders. The way it works, it goes to the elders. The elders then interview and talk to this particular person. And the person they've narrowed it down to, and we have narrowed it down to, is a guy named, his name is Gaetano Palino. Should know that in Italian. He's 28 years old, young guy, exciting. We've got all his resume. We can send that information to you. But he's going to be here in about a month, candidating with us. And he's really excited about it. We had a Zoom meeting with him last week. And just everything clicked, everything in the meeting. We had, I think, like 50 questions. And he had questions. And we didn't get all our questions. But it seemed like everything he answered and we answered, everything clicked with that. But the way the process works, we don't make that decision. It's made by you. At this congregational meeting we will have. And so we'll give information. You can look at it. He'll be meeting with everybody that's here, if we can, to spend time with you. You'll get a chance to meet him. And then on Sunday after Easter, we will make a decision if this is what we want to do or not, as far as the congregation. So that's the process. So I want to thank, again, the transition team, and I'd like to say a prayer for this process, and then we'll transition into our song after this, right? Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the transition team and all the work they did and how you seem to be just guiding and directing in all of this. It's exciting to see their enthusiasm of coming to Tampa and candidating with us. Just where his heart is for the Lord, evangelism and the love of the word and just everything, Lord. So we're thankful for that and just how this is working. We thank you for Mike, Lord, and just how he's been so gracious through this process and helped us through this. And we'd also pray for him during this transition time. So, Father, just be with us, be with this special meeting coming up, that we can get the itinerary down, that meeting of the week he's going to be here with us. And we just pray for all the details, Lord, and we thank you for how you're working at Candlewood. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Right here is today. Okay? Follow me. In 2 weeks, there'll be another gathering. You're aware of this, right? This is not a secret to anybody. Watch very closely, okay? You're going to notice that when we get into April, we have gathering 3 Sundays in a row. The reason is because on both sides of Easter, we'd have a gathering, and Easter Sunday we would have been off. But we in the leadership all decided a way back that when Easter falls between gatherings, not on a gathering Sunday, we will have a gathering on Easter Sunday. We think it's a very important thing to do, that we get together and proclaim the risen Jesus Christ. So be aware of that. And then what happens is Gaetano, who I think you're going to have to come up with a nickname for, Pastor G or something like that, if he ends up coming here, he'll be here on Monday after Easter. He will go to each of the groups, the community groups. You'll get alone time talking with him and et cetera. I will spend a bunch of time. The leadership will spend a bunch of time with him as well. And then that very next Sunday, a regularly scheduled gathering, he will then get up and I will prep him all week long to lead the gathering. And then it's after that day. I mean, after that day, like minutes, we will usher him out, and we will have a vote on whether we receive him as pastor or not. Correct? I got one right this morning. I'm so happy about that. Okay, listen carefully to me. This is very interesting. Most places you go to church, you get to sit and you get to watch. And the best looking guy of the group gets up and leads the service. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. One. But you understand, the paid talent does their stuff, which is fine. I've been part of that in large churches, and that's all good. I'm not making fun of them. But in this case, we don't do that. There's a lot of involvement, and the involvement starts now. I'm going to ask you, listen carefully, to get up and greet each other when I say go. Now, that's not what I'm talking about yet. This gets even better. Then I'm going to ask you to find yourselves in groups of between 2 and 4 people. And no offense to the folks who may be sitting on the porch right now, but you're going to get to meet some of our people in a fun way. I'm going to ask some of our veterans to maybe go out there and yank one of them off the porch to be in your group in here. You get to move the chairs around and do whatever you want to do to make this happen. But in the next couple of minutes, you find yourself in a group, but not with your family if possible. It's great to be in with us. And in your case, I don't know how you're going to pull that off, but you'll figure it out, okay? So, obviously. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say go. You're going to get up and greet each other, and you're going to start forming a group between 2 and 4 people. Listen, you're mathematically challenged as a group every single week between 2 and 4 people. Look at this. 2 and 4 people. That's what I want you to do, okay? After you've said hi, take a minute and do that. Go. Okay, we've all introduced ourselves.
Is it in English this time?
I, like you, make observations about people, but this baby over here has got more hair than I have ever had in my life. I think it's fantastic. Okay, listen up. Here's what you're going to do. First part of this. What you're going to do, not everybody in your group has to share, but it'd be great if at least one person, maybe two, share just briefly, 30 seconds, 45 seconds, a time that you share Jesus Christ with somebody else. Now, I don't care if you got shot at the end of it, but maybe you did. That'd be entertaining. We'd like to hear that. But just somebody in the group would just share, you know, I remember back, I shared Christ, and this is how I did it, and here's how it went, et cetera, et cetera. Just share one or two of you in there within the group. An experience you had sharing Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel. Go. Okay, if you could put your attention up this way. Attention up this way.
You gotta wanna hear this.
Okay.
You got it, Mike.
Thanks, Ed. Okay. Every so often it's a showstopper for me. I'm sorry. All right, here we go. One story I want you to hear, which is just a fantastic story of somebody sharing Christ. So give your attention to Dennis right now. Dennis?
As most of you know, I became a Christian after I left being a police officer. And the reason I left being a police officer, because I lost my leg in the line of duty. But that led me to salvation. After I left being a police officer, I was talked back into working for the police department, which I still do today, 32 years later. And early on in my career, I worked at a report desk where I took reports over the phone. One day, I had a phone call, and it was from a lady who was in turmoil. Her son was hanging out with gangs, not listening, going out and going and coming in when he wanted to. He was 15 years old. And she was concerned about him and getting into trouble or getting hurt out there. So I started explaining, well, you know, ways to talk to him. If he thinks he's becoming a man, even though he's 15, in certain cultures, the age of becoming a man is down around low teens to mid-teens. So as I was talking to her about ways that she can give him respect and then work back and forth and hopefully it works, she goes, well, would you talk to him? And I went, huh? She said, he's right here. I spent an hour and a half on the phone with this young man named Eduardo. And we talked. And I talked to him. I shared with him how I became a Christian and how it took losing my leg to become one. And I talked to him about my life in New York and talked to him about his gang life and stuff like that and where those gang members would be if he got himself in trouble or hurt. And he was afraid of losing his girlfriend if he left the gang because she was part of that too. And So we talked, and I said, if she is more interested in the gang than you, then maybe she's not worth being your girlfriend. And then I talked to him about what Jesus expected of him, honoring his mother and father. I said, the more respect you show them, the more they'll show you, and the more responsibility they'll give you. He said, could I call you back? And I said, yeah, anytime. I got off the phone, they started calling me Father Dennis in the office I worked in. And I didn't hear from Eduardo, but 6 months later, I got a phone call, and it was a woman, and she said, I'm Eduardo's mother. And I said, who? And she said, Eduardo, you talked to him on the phone? Oh, yeah, I remember. How's he doing? Well, he got a job. He started going to church with me. His girlfriend started going to church with him. And he showed so much respect to me and his father. And we treated him with more respect and gave him more latitude. And I said, oh, great. And she goes, and I know I'll see him again. I went, what? The gangs did not like him leaving. And they caught him on the street and stabbed him to death. And with that, I got up and I went and looked on the pictures in the hallway. We had pictures of all homicide victims. And there was Eduardo's picture among all. And I walked past it every day. He never even noticed. But I pray that when he went to church that he did find Jesus and found salvation. I'd like to see him again.
Thank you, Dennis. And the sharing of the gospel goes down in many, many, many different roads and experiences. Some are very like just normal, you think, everyday life, and others sometimes come out of the box, and it's just cool when you have both experiences. Right now, why don't you just take a minute in your group, pick out somebody in your group to pray, bow your heads, and have that person pray out loud for each of us as we go to share the gospel. That's why we've been placed here. That's why we're still alive. We've got work for the kingdom to do. So pick somebody out in your group. Just point at them rudely and say, you pray. Bow your heads. Have that one person pray. Go and do that.
I'll try.
Okay, if I could get your attention back up here in just a short order, I'd appreciate it. Okay, everybody's picked out a leader. Leaders, put your hand in the air. Leaders, if you're the leader. If you're the leader, put your hand in the air. Okay, who's leading this? Is it a full moon? Okay, everybody, leaders, put your hand up so I can see them. Thank you. Okay, listen up, leaders, for this next section. I think the majority of you folks who are visiting are going to run back to a normal church after this and say, thank you. Okay, here we go. I'm just having fun.
And everything will be normal.
That's right. Here we go. There are two sections of scripture we want to look at this morning in our scripture examination this morning. Leaders, you're responsible for taking these notes and understanding this. One is Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. That's the first section. The second section is Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 15. Your group is going to handle one of these. That last one I mentioned was Acts 17, verses 10 to 15. Leaders with your groups right now, you need to decide which section of this scripture you're going to cover in your group. Okay, so be looking at it real careful right now. Everybody's looking at it. And then, leader, you facilitate the choice that you'll make, whether it's verses 1 to 9 or verses 10 to 15. Two separate accounts of Paul sharing the gospel and paying the price in certain places, okay? Okay, leaders, once you have chosen that scripture, make sure somebody in your group reads it for your group, whichever section you've chosen. And then when you're done reading that, look up here and I'll show you where we're going to go from there. Okay? Pick out the section, read it in your group. Okay, we just about there? No, we're not. Keep reading, finish it up, look up here. Okay, everybody done reading? We're done reading? Okay, I'm seeing yes from everybody. Listen carefully. Here we go. Here's the instructions. Here's the instructions. Leaders, make sure you get it. This scripture is not accidentally put here. this accounting through Acts of the sharing of the gospel accounts, we've been reading these for years and just pass them off. Not a big deal. But we've been taking the past year and looking at Acts really intently, looking for, okay, why is this here? What is here that I can glean about sharing the gospel message today? Something I need to be mindful of sharing the gospel message today that they did. And, oh, I just got a clue here. Oh, in fact, I see it. And this is what I'm challenged by in my sharing Christ today. So as you look at this account with your leader facilitating the conversation, you're looking for, really, why would this account be here and not another one from somewhere else? Why isn't there one here from Jersey City? Why is it Thessalonica? You get the idea? Why was this event so important to record by Luke for me to have it today? And then what can I glean from it and learn from it and be challenged by? That's what I'm looking for. So now you got to do a little digging. Now you got to do a little thinking. And then when we're done this section, you get a chance to teach the church, if you'd like to, and challenge us with the scripture. Go ahead, have your discussion. Okay, if you're done, you can look up this way. As soon as you're done, completed thoughts, look up this way. We do want to hear what you have to say. You don't have to share. Your group does not have to share. Your group does not have to share. Unless they want to, all right? So I'm kind of postured right here. If somebody, leader, whoever, might be the spokesperson for your group, wants to raise your hand and challenge us or share something with us we need to know from this scripture, oh, well, that was easy. And the cool thing is that Mildred knows that the porch pirates need to come to this platform right here and share from here. You want to come up a step? There we go. Now you're in there. Okay, here you go, Mildred.
We discussed you have to know the culture, the background of the people that you're talking to be able to relate to them, to build a relationship, and you need to keep Jesus central.
Wow. Great challenge. I like that. That's what we're looking for. Somebody else want to share? You don't have to. Oh, hello, my friend. How are you doing? You got to stand. I got to put you on mic. This is the whole thing, man. People are listening. All right? Want me to hold the mic?
So we did the first passage, and in verse 4, we found that it's showing us that all people are included in the church, even people that weren't previously included in, like, the synagogue, because it includes the Gentiles and women, too.
Nicely said. Well done. You guys came up with this, really? Oh, he was the leader. Nice job. Thank you for taking part. Okay, anybody else want to share? Don't have to. If something's been mentioned, you don't need to repeat it. Anybody else want to share? Okay, over this way.
You're going to get the mic. Put it right up in your mouth.
Okay, so we were doing the... Oh, I got to stand up? Oh, man. All right. That works. So we were looking at the second passage, and we had a couple of points, but the one that we were first looking at is pointing out that the Bereans were testing what Paul and Silas were teaching them against the scriptures as part of their acceptance of it. So... in terms of using that as a gospel presentation method, don't be afraid or even maybe welcome people to test what you're saying against the scriptures. If what you're saying is true, it'll stand up. If it's not, it might not. And then, you know, you can also encourage those you're talking to, hey, you don't have to just believe me. Look into it yourself, and then you will hopefully find it that I'm telling you the truth.
That is very, very solid. Thank you very much. Your name is?
Pete.
Pete, good job. Good, sharp. Did you steal that from somebody else? Or did that come from you?
Oh, no, we told
okay, good. I got it. It's good. Okay. I like it. Tom?
Okay, we did 10 through 15 and would like to echo where Pastor started with this. Why in the world does anybody care what was happening in Berea? It's kind of a little out of the way place, so what's the big deal? Well, there are several things. Most of what's in here that we really thought was valuable was in verse 11. And it says two things about the nature of the Bereans. The first one is that when they came to the scripture, they came to the scripture with eagerness. Now, my folks retranslated that into hunger. An interesting approach to the word. Are you hungry for it, or is it, yeah, I got to do that again? I suppose I should do some Bible reading. It is not a drudgery to these people. These folks are looking forward to this. This is something they anticipate. It is a big deal to them. So there is this eagerness. Well, who cares if people 2,000 years ago were eager? Here's why we care, because that comes directly forward. The same experience they had, we can have. Who controls whether I'm eager or not to get to the word? Well, mostly I do. And it's my attitude, and it's my approach, and it's my sense of priority. And so these folks were eager. Well, that part's really great. You know, I'm glad they were eager. That's a happy thing. It's a virtuous thing. But then we come to what else is there? As eager as they were, and I can understand that. They're listening to Paul and Silas, for heaven's sakes. I can understand how they're eager. Not to take anything away from Mike, but hey, Paul and Silas, you know. These are power hitters. And I understand the eagerness, but then there's the other side of it. Along with being eager, it says, they tested what was said against the scripture. Now, how dare anybody test Paul against his knowledge of the scripture? Is he speaking the truth or not? And yet that was their approach. It is a very healthy form of skepticism. They're not angry. They're not presupposing that Paul got it wrong. They're not looking to nitpick some little point somewhere where they can say, well, I don't think he's right about that. They are doing what they're doing because they want to know, is what he says lined up with what the scripture says? And in their case, the scripture would be the old book, the Old Testament, is what he's saying about Jesus and the prophets, the real story or not. And so there is this healthy skepticism that says, let's go see. I know what he said. I know what the words mean. But let's go look at the scripture and see if it backs him up. Apparently it did. The results were that many people came to belief. And we came to a point that Laura hit. Really grand that people came to believe. That's what we were talking about earlier. Who did you witness to? How did that go? Who came to Christ? And so on and so forth. But there is also here the shadow of spiritual warfare. When we do what is right, either in our approach to the word or our approach to witness, we're going to attract attention, and some of it's not from people who have our best interest at heart. And so these folks are attacked. Paul is again driven out of town. It seems like a bad thing. Hey, if I do what God wants me to do, isn't he going to see that I prosper and things go well and my life gets easy? And no, not necessarily. It might. It might not. So the important part is Paul and we have the opportunity to do what's right. We leave the results with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Pastor Tom. Well, let's close in prayer and go home. My goodness, that was fantastic. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, Pastor. See, what a lot of you might not know is Tom has served as a pastor, and even though he's retired from that position, you haven't left it, buddy. Trust me. And we have the joy of listening to him at my house on Monday night in my community group. Who he does better than I ever could do, because I'm just not as smart. Right, Tom? We determined that? I don't think so. Glenn, are you waving at me for something I should know? You want to speak? Come to the platform. Come challenge us, Dr. Glenn.
I don't know about challenging, but I like what Alito said, that the Bereans, they fact-checked Paul. And I thought that was a very apt way to put things. And David agreed that, yes, we are going to have a position when it is that we do try to share the gospel.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All righty. Anybody else want to share? You've heard? Okay, hold on now. I see that hand. I've always wanted to say that. Josh, here you go, buddy. Want to stand up and share?
Sure. One of the things that really caught my group is the relentlessness of Paul. Just how he was so entranced by the love of God that these people who were undoubtedly wanting to kill him for blasphemy, they chase him out of the town, and immediately when he gets to the next, he does the same thing. You read in Acts, I don't exactly know where. But it talks about how Paul is beaten nearly half to death, and some actually think he died. And as soon as he gets up, it's the brothers that have to pull him away from going into the city to preach again. And it's just, it's amazing how the love of God and, you know, he gives us this faith to endure all things. But there's, you know, there's another side of that, you know. There's a relentlessness of the devil. You know, we live in a spiritual warfare. That they would so pursue him all the way from Thessalonica to come try to drag him to pay for his crimes. And, you know, it's a little bit of a warning and an encouragement that, you know, we can endure these things and that we will face these challenges, but through God, many people will be saved.
Thank you, Josh. So thank you, Pastor Tom, and thank you, future pastor, Josh. We appreciate that. Listen, I just wanted to share one thing out of here with you, if I can do that. And it goes by real quick, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to dismiss, and you get on about your day. I was greatly challenged personally by when I read in here in verse 2 that Paul went in as his custom on the three Sabbath days. Listen carefully. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying that this Jesus whom I proclaim is the Christ. Listen, I've done evangelism classes. I've been in a bunch of evangelism classes where these geniuses, genuinely, smart people talk about evangelism, and we're going to hone my story so that when I told my story, it involved a burning building. It involved red lights flashing. There was an earthquake. There was a volcano, and you're like on the edge of your seat. And then I tell you about how I came to Jesus. And you know what? I don't get that from Paul. I get the fact that Paul uses the scripture. And by the way, it can be used in all situations. And I need to keep about me the imperative and the focus that it's on the Word of God. I'm sorry, I'm not on the level of these people who taught those classes about, and we'd have to write out our stories, and it better have something attractive and fun in it, and drama, and all that kind of stuff. Drama, I just said drama to be funny, don't correct me. And the fact of the matter is, in doing that stuff, you've honed a good story and that captures people's attention and they'll have to come to Jesus. And no, the Holy Spirit uses His Word. His Word is the most powerful thing you've got in your toolbox. Go to the Word and use it and let Him use that Word in that person's life that you're sharing Jesus Christ with. Simple as that. I was overtaken by this because I've been lived in an age of Disney just like you. And I know that there's just white puffy clouds out there and nice things. And the parade is at 2 and the fireworks are later. And they give food away for free in Disney. And you know what? That's not true. The reality is this. You work for the kingdom of God. And you share the gospel message. And we all know from those idiots on TV that God blesses you with more stuff than you can handle. Goods and services will come like Amazon truck broke down in your front yard and it's all yours to keep. And that's not true either. Because the fact of the matter is, the more you seek to serve God, the more the opposition will be ramped up against you. So don't be surprised when an opposition comes right to your front door and calls you out for representing Jesus Christ. And when that happens, and it will, you'll go like this, Lord, you were right. That opposition's here. And I am an enemy of Satan. And now I know for sure. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and the fact that you've commissioned us, these weak vessels, us. I look around this room, you've entrusted the message to these people here and me. And we're just not equipped to do this well, except for the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of your word. Father, use us mightily in sharing the gospel message with those that you've placed around us. Father, I thank you for the fact we get to take part in this, and I thank you for the fact that you will bring the fruit and bring the increase. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's remain standing for prayer. Father, we thank you for the name of Christ, the power of Christ, the blood of Christ. Thank you for his resurrection and his resurrection power and the way he works in our lives. Father, thank you for the way that you've been working in the transition process. And
leading the transition team, and then eventually the elders to Gaetano and Krista. And Father, I pray as we continue this process and they prepare to come here to candidate, that you would guide our steps, that you would get all of the meetings that they need to have all synchronized and organized. And Father, I pray that you would help them to be at their best when they're here, and help us to be at our best as well, Lord. But most of all, we pray that you would work through us to build a future for Candlewood and for the gospel here in this part of the Tampa Bay area. We ask that you just pour us out and guide these meetings that we're going to have, be in the midst, and help us to ask the right questions, and for them to ask the right questions too, as we go through these things. And make us sensitive this week as we go into Fellowship Week, Lord. Help us to be your vessels, your witnesses. Just keep us honest, keep us courageous, and help us to glorify you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.